you, Isabella. What a blessing, amen. That was one of the pieces that will be sung for the competition, amen, and blessed us with it tonight, amen. Before our preacher comes, I want to just, I'm not going to make them stand because they've been married for 59 years, amen. And the Messersmiths let us know that today is their anniversary, so happy anniversary to them. 59 years, amen. And all of them happy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So glad that you're here tonight. We do have a blessing, and my good friend, Brother Ryan Cowinga, Pastor Ryan Cowinga, from the Harvest Baptist Church in Hudsonville, Michigan, the place that serves great ice cream. Amen. Amen. But they also serve out the gospel up there. You come and preach for us, my brother.
Thank you, preacher. Appreciate being here tonight. You start singing, "May all the glory be yours." You're going to get me happy.
Amen.
When I get happy, I get rolling. I'm telling you something. You start talking about Jesus. You start talking about heaven. On a Wednesday night, all right? It's okay to smile on a Wednesday. I don't know anything but full blast is all I know. They say, "Preacher, I can't keep up with you." You don't have to. You can just come watch me burn. It's all right. I'm telling you, I like the old boys right down here. That's the amen section, right?
Amen.
Amen. I don't know if you're going to be saying amen, maybe hallelujah in heaven. Maybe sometime we get a little practice and we start saying all the glory, preacher, belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
Now think about with all the nonsense going in the world, all the sit-ins and all the riots and all the nonsense, all that nonsense can be done one day.
Amen.
We're going to gather around the throne, friend.
Right.
I'm telling you, the Bible says something about a crystal river. That Jesus sits on the right hand. And I'm telling you, if you're not real careful on Wednesday night, you'll get happy in the Lord. It's okay to be happy. Man, we come to church and I pray that our cup is in the upright position. I pray that often for our church folks to remind them sometime, well, preacher, I came to church. Go ahead and see if you can bless me tonight. Because the week was hard and I'm upset and I'll let you know. Go ahead and see if you can bless me. You better preach the right thing, buddy. And I'm telling you something, our cup's sometimes not in the upright position.
Amen.
And if you'll come just for the next few moments and see what God has for us from the Word of God,
Amen.
Man, it'll get you happy perhaps in the Lord. If you know you're going to heaven, we had sung a song, "He hideth my life in the depths of His love."
Amen.
That takes a lot of pressure off.
Yeah.
I don't have to perform anymore. I just get the depths of His love.
Amen.
Because why? I've asked God to forgive me my sins and to take all the nonsense that I've done or will do in my life.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of pressure off. You know what takes a lot of pressure off? I've been to Harvest Baptist Church now going on 34 years.
Amen.
I know. I don't look that old, preacher. I get that. But I know that's going to come to shortly not get that anymore. And I tell people, man, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Get happy in the Lord. Maybe somebody will want to say, "Why are you so happy? What's the matter with you?" I had a lady not too long ago, didn't I, Julie? I had a lady not terribly long ago. I was going through the line at the checkout. And she said, "Why are you so happy?" I didn't realize I was happy. I don't know if I was whistling or singing. I don't know what I was doing. But I told her this. I said, "Because I love Jesus."
Amen.
She puts her head down. Okay. Beep, 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 beep. She wanted nothing to say about Jesus. But she's wondering why I was happy. I wonder if somebody asked you in a good long while why, or perhaps why you're happy. Preacher was talking about your testimony. He's gun barrel straight on that. We ought to be telling people and preaching our testimony. You say, how do you do it? Jesus did it. Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 11. Mark in chapter and number 11. We find Jesus teaching this simple truth. And I like this story of Scripture. And I've come back to this several times in preaching and teaching and always hang kind of a different thought around a message. God's had me now 27 years preaching the gospel, 27. I've been at our church 34, come there as a teen boy, and I don't know why they'd ever vote me in as a pastor. Brother Danny, you've been there, just got a bunch of great people there. But I'm telling you something right now, I pray that you have something that's real. Something that you have that's not just for show. Something that just doesn't get cleaned up once in a while and come to church and say, "Preacher, you better preach the right thing today because I need something." And I'm not saying that's not our attitude sometime, but I'm afraid sometime way too often that we come to church looking to get something when we perhaps should be looking to give something. Doesn't Jesus remind us the greatest of all is a servant? That's somebody just saying, preacher, what needs to be done around the property? Do you guys have weeds here?
Oh yeah.
Because in Michigan this time of year, all the snow's gone, a little bit of moisture in the ground, and we seem to get a lot of weeds. That's a picture of sin. Okay, that weed, that thorn, that thistle. And I said, you know, that ought not be on Harvest Baptist Church's property. And guess what? The preachers, this ain't my property. You thought, you'd never seen so many people look at their shoes. Hey, they're still, yeah, look at my laces. They don't want to make eye contact pulling weeds. Bless God, they're too old to pull weeds. They're too young to pull weeds. Well, I don't have enough time to do that. But I'm telling you, maybe you'll ask your preacher, what needs to be done around the property? Man, Brother Carter's how old? 88 years of age? He can't do what he once used to. You say, preacher, I remember the day. You can help him. You can be a prayer warrior. Hey, preacher. Hey, Brother Carter, what do you need? You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm telling you what Jesus is going to get at here in just a moment. He reminds us now in Scripture. He says that the servant is the greatest of all. So you want to be the greatest, do you? Well, I want to rub elbows with the important people. Man, I'm a preacher boy. I'm going to set the world on fire. I pray that you do. But sometimes we just think we ought to burn them. We got to do something. When I found out something years ago that I don't have to fix people, that helped me in ministry. I tried to fix every blessed person I come in contact with. I even tried to fix people from the UP. She says, now you're meddling, brother. Yeah, I get her. She's leaving Tuesday. Go back up to Canaan land. I don't know what this is down here, brother. It's too hot down here. I mean, I like to come down for a little while. But Canaan land, I believe, didn't Jesus say he comes in the north or through the north? I don't know. Jesus said something about that. And so we'll just be a little head start on you, perhaps. But God's good. And sometimes you're not careful. You'll say, well, I'm just not that happy. You know, you can't make me happy tonight. And my job's not to fix you or try to help you. My job's try to encourage you what the Bible and the Scriptures say tonight. Mark chapter 11, if you're able to stand out of respect of God's word, I'm going to read two verses in Mark chapter 11 and look down at verse number 12. The Bible says, and on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany. Now Jesus is with Lazarus and he's with him the previous week and he's getting encouragement from Martha and he comes to Bethany. The Bible says there, he was hungry. Oh, there's something about that. I'm going to touch on that in just a moment. Look at verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, and if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the times of the figs was not yet. I'd like to preach a message very briefly, if I can, this evening, entitled Nothing But Leaves. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, anoint your servant. Lord, tonight, if we just all be your servant, Lord, we'll do all right. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give me power from on high. Unction, the Bible says, or holy zeal, Lord, for the word of God. Lord, for our testimony. Lord, that we can testify, Lord, not in this room perhaps, but in the highways, in the hedges of life. Lord, I pray you keep it hot tonight for us. Lord, the Bible speaks right through us. Lord, sometime it cuts, sometime it heals. Sometime it encourages. Lord, I pray you do all those things for your people tonight. Lord, if there's somebody here on the sound of my voice that needs to be saved and have assurance, Lord, I pray before the night's done and through, Lord, that you'd, Lord, allow them to have courage of what it does take. To walk an old-fashioned aisle, yes, even on a Wednesday night. Lord, if that's the need of the hour. Lord, some just might need a good load of encouragement. Lord, they're just getting weary. Lord, they believe their race is to run and perhaps, Lord, nearing the end. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just give what you need us to have. Lord, not what we want, not what we think we need, but Lord, what you would have us to have. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be something more than just a show of leaves. And Lord, I pray tonight you'd allow me to preach without fear or favor of man. But Lord, you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Nothing but leaves. Why curse the fig tree? The Bible says he cursed it. You're going to find in verse number 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hitherafter forever. And his disciples heard it. You see, why in the world is it a big deal that he cursed it? Why talk to the tree? He's seeing, the Bible says, afar off. I'm going to give you some thoughts here in a moment. Why curse the fig tree for not bearing figs? That's what I always thought about. I was reading this story of Scripture and perhaps not fully understand why and what Jesus was trying to teach at the old boys that were there that heard it. Oh, how strange. Seeing it was not time, the Bible says, for figs. So if it wasn't supposed to have figs, why would Jesus care? Yes, he was hungry. Yes, he saw it afar off. I still begin to wonder in my Bible reading why that Jesus was so upset. Was he just an angry man? He must have been an angry individual. He had the weight of the world on his shoulders and he just snapped on this fig tree. No, I don't believe it is. I believe Jesus is going to teach us, and I believe if you know it already, it's a great Bible truth and actually a truth that's happening today in the Middle East. Now I got your attention, didn't I? That whole prophecy stuff, that's for your preacher to decipher, right? But I see something, even these trees today. You say, oh, that still happens. Yes, it does. Jesus, the Bible said, has spent his last Sabbath on earth with Mary and Martha and Lazarus at Bethany. Though he had just left, no doubt, that hospitable home, that friendly home. You remember where Lazarus in the tomb, the Bible says, John 11, 35, Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Remember that one? Who couldn't remember that one? But Jesus wept. He had compassion on his friends. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says there, he's on that road to Bethany. He's on that place. He had hungry. And this evidence of reality of his manhood or his deity of being God, yet man. Through passing the fig tree by the wayside, only one. Many fig trees perhaps were there, but only one, the Bible says, he saw far off. And I'm going to tie this in very quickly to our Christian life. I'm going to tie it in once we know this biblical fact. But it attracted his attention. Jesus came expecting figs and found nothing but leaves. You say, hold it, preacher. I've read my Bible. I got my King James Bible, the authority on all things. And I read it. The Bible says it wasn't the time of the figs. Do you know that in reality, a fig tree bears figs before the leaves? So if that tree is out there shaking in the wind, he says, there. That's the one. All the rest are barren. But that one right there is professing it's got something going on. Far too many times, I'm afraid some Christians, yeah, some preachers, God hit me right between the eyes with this thought. Our profession. We're professing. We're saying, hey, look at me over here. And God, Bible said, Jesus literally walked over there and saw no fruit. I thought, oh dear. Lord, where are you going to go with this? Well, let's go on. He came expecting figs and found nothing but leaves. Why expect figs? Because Jesus knew, and it is still in motion today. Matter of fact, I had printed off a little picture. You see that, preacher? I've not been there to the Holy Land, so I'm only get to via, you know, pictures and different things that I see and hear. They tell me that these little figs begin to grow before the leaves. And sometimes we say, well, preacher, man, I'm out there soul winning and I'm out there doing my best for the Lord. And praise the Lord, you ought to be. You say, well, I've struggled bearing fruit. I wonder in this room, in a class, in an auditorium this size, when's the last time we've led someone to Christ? The fruit of our labor. Now, sometimes we bring them to church and they get saved in the message. Praise the Lord. We have a hand in that. Sometimes it's a family member and you got to pray for a good long while. Let me tell you something. Don't quit praying for your family. I had this gentleman come to our church. He prayed for his dad 47 years. No fruit. 47 years. He said, preacher, if you could pray for my dad. I said, whoa. I thought you were going to tell me how this great revelation that the old boy got saved. He said, not yet. 47 years. Don't give up on your family. Amen. Don't give up. Sometime we do that. Well, good night. I prayed for him 40 years. What's God want me to do? Just keep praying. Be diligent. Amen. Be diligent. But Jesus said he's seen this afar off. He's seen the profession afar off. Hey, I got fruit. I got something going on over here. And I'm telling you, be very careful. Now, we all ought to have fruit in our lives. The Bible says we ought to bear fruit. And in some seasons are lean, aren't they? Sometime you're out there, you're pounding the pavement, and sometime we come after Sherathon. Was that just right recently? Remember, we come down typically in April. Man, we get the reports of your preacher. Hey, we went over to this church. Or where'd you go, like Indiana this time or something, Indianapolis? And man, people get saved. And man, I rejoice with them. And sometimes there's lean years. You ever have that?
Yeah.
You go out and knock on a couple doors. Or you talk to a family member. There's no fruit. There's lean years.
Yeah.
You say, what did Jesus do? He kept going. What did Jesus do? He taught his others to do it. The Bible says they heard that. Yeah, I got it, Jesus. Okay, all right, Jesus, even through the hard time. All right, Jesus, I'm going. Sometimes nothing but leaves is a danger in our life. This is a very interesting fact, no doubt, about that fig tree. They tell me that some high alpine climbers in the Alps, never done it, don't plan to, they tell me they can tell how high they are by the vegetation, what's growing up there. Interesting thought. I'm going to give you three things very quickly tonight. When you see afar off, what do you see? Do you stand out? I'm telling you, we should. We should be professing. We should have some fruit to our life. Number one, I seen the fruit. No doubt the fig tree was untruthful. It made a loud profession of fruit, but Jesus found none. But its leaves, the tree should have borne fruit, and it made a loud profession with no possession. I'll tell you that again. It made a loud sometime. It made a very loud profession with no possession. You say, what's Jesus do? I don't know what he does all the time, but I know what he did here. He was unhappy. I'm telling you, we should make the Lord happy. You say, well, preacher, how do I make Jesus happy? Seriously, he's up in heaven, seated on the throne. He's coming back. The Bible says, no man knoweth the hour. How do I make him happy? Do I read my Bible enough? Do I read 10 chapters? Do I pray for 2 hours a day? What is it, the key? I believe that what Jesus is interested in our fruit. Our fruit of our life. Remember where Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You can do nothing without me. I'm thinking, all right, there might be something to this thing that Jesus was teaching his disciples. Number two, quickly, I see the fig tree was a portrait of Israel. No doubt the direct application of the parables to the Jewish nation. The heathen nation of that time were barren enough. But what they were not professing as Israel was, a curse has rested no doubt in Israel. I tell people, God's put Israel on the back burner for about 20 centuries. He's going to use them again. Hang on, he's going to use them again.
Yeah.
You see things amping up in Israel a little bit?
Yeah.
That ought to get you happy. Yeah. Well, brother, kicking the stuffings out of Israel. I don't know, I'm not over there, but I'm telling you, you best be a friend of Israel. Remember where God says that?
Right. Yeah.
That blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And a friend of Israel, there's something about that. You ought to pray for Israel. Don't protest against Israel.
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Good night.
Yeah.
I got a full belly of that stuff. It's just beginning to happen.
Yeah.
You say, well, preacher, they're kicking the stuffings out of Israel. I know. It's kind of exciting because Jesus is going to come back and help them out one of these days. And we best be ready.
Amen.
Jesus is a fruit inspector is what he is. You say, oh, you shouldn't judge. The Bible says, Matthew 7, thou shalt not judge. But what about being a fruit inspector?
Right.
Didn't say anything about that. And I'm not skirting the issue. I'm trying to help you tonight. Get happy in the Lord. Jesus is coming. One of these days, he's going to split. The Bible says the eastern sky. He's going to come as sure as you're sitting here. Well, preacher, I've been waiting 50 years. Wait, man, let's go on 51. Amen. Let's just serve God 51 then. Don't quit. The fig tree will yet be restored of Israel and fruit and blessing once again in God's time. Number three and lastly, the fig tree was an indication, no doubt, of life. It was an indication of life. I began to tell you about the alpine climbers. I was learning a little bit about that as I was studying this. They tell me that an alpine climber, when he climbs and he knows where to camp and how many breaths to take, I'm thinking, who thinks about their breath? Well, the air gets that thin. You really got to think about survival. It's not just, well, I want to make it to the top anymore. It is surviving moment by moment. They tell me they look around, and as they put that pick in, different types of shoes they put on. And I mean, there's something to climb in the Alps. It isn't just something you and I want to do. That sounds like a nice vacation. Miss Julie, we're going to climb the Alps next year. No, you got to condition. You got to be right for that. You got to have a guide and different things. And they tell me that they're so skilled. They can tell different seasons and different things by the vegetation. Many times we don't look at the vegetation. We look at spiritual fruit often. Perhaps we don't look at it often enough. That fig tree was an indication of life. Think about this. Skilled spiritual guides can tell a person's spirituality by the graces he observes in that life.
Right.
Don't you get mad at your preacher if he says, hey, how you doing? Well, preacher's none of your business. He observing some things. He's skilled in some areas. God's given him. I was asked the other day, preacher, they said, preacher, do you know how to do this or that? I said, no. Well, then bless God. How are you, pastor? I said, well, God better give me the equipment if he's called me to do that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we look at preachers and say, well, that's just a job. That's just something Brother Parsons wanted to do for a while. And it's just working out okay. No, God's given him a special.
Amen. Amen.
Special. Right. It's something that we might not see clearly.
Amen.
You know, others might see God's will in your life before you do.
Yeah,
it'll scare you half to death.
Amen.
I'm not even praying that direction. How do you know what God's going to do with my life? I'm telling you, they're watching. The skillful eye is watching. They're not watching to get you or set a trap. They're looking to help you. They're looking to encourage you.
Amen.
They're looking to say, hey, that direction is not a good direction. Perhaps they've been down that road a time or two. Or a family member crashed and burned there. And they say, hold it. A very skilled spiritual guide can tell a person's spiritual plane by their observing one's life. Worldly habits and outlook proclaim a life lived in the low altitudes of the world. You know, it's easy to go with the flow. I go salmon fishing up north. And a lot of times the Muskegon River has a very high current. And it's a whole lot easier walking downstream. When you got a fish on and it goes up and you're water and you're rushing around you, I'm telling you, it's harder to go against it than it is to go with it. Sometimes it's easy just to live in the well-watered plains and just kind of, well, whatever happens, happens, leave it a chance. Let me tell you something, friend. God's got a plan for your life.
Amen.
And a purpose for your life.
Amen.
College student, don't you overlook that. Well, I know, preach them at college. Amen. But God's got a plan.
Amen.
And it might not be your plan.
Yeah.
God's pretty good at telling you what to do. And you're thinking, well, I didn't sign up for that. That's not the class I took. That's not what I rehearsed the last few years. God says, when you go worrying about you and start worrying about what God said to do.
Amen.
Hmm. I wonder tonight, where are you living? I was thinking about this thought. Why leaves were considered so serious? Leaves misrepresent sometimes our Christian faith. Such leaves hinder other seekers. The world's watching us. I thought you were a Christian. They call it hypocritical. You ever been called a hypocrite? Man, that should hurt you. That should cut you. And like, oh, yeah, perhaps I didn't see that clearly as I do now. Man, thank you for that. They're like, well, what do you mean thank you? I just ripped on you and I cut you down. That I just derogatory. You're a hypocrite. Yeah, I know. Well, preacher, I don't go to your church because it's full of hypocrites. I know. What's one more? Might as well come visit us. I'm telling you the truth. It's where we're living. Do you know they tell me that a mountain, not much grows. Brother Parsons, not much grows in the mountain peaks. It grows in the valley. But I was also looking at that crazy thing. It takes two mountains. Everybody loves a mountaintop experience, so do I. I mean, I'm looking for the next one. I'm looking three paths. I'm looking. But it takes two mountains to make one valley. Preacher, I'm stuck in the valley. You might be there right now tonight. You might be in a difficult position of wondering what to do or where to go or what's my next move here. I've talked to the preacher. I've prayed about it. I've talked to some wise counsel. Still, really, it's unclear. Man, it takes two mountaintops to make a valley. You just keep going. You just keep going. You keep plowing that field. The Bible says the blessed man in Psalm 1 is the one who stands not in the way of sinners. Well, let's go to it real quickly tonight. We're closing. Real quickly, let's get a thought here in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. This old boy knew where to plant. The psalmist here that said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The penman here, not the author. The author is Christ. The author is God. The penman wrote these few thoughts down for us tonight. He said, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to give you some help of growing and getting up to that mountaintop experience. Say, how do I do that? Look at verse 2. But his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate. Spend some time now, day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're preaching. But whatever I do is going to prosper. I just read it, preacher, right there. I'm going to name it and claim it. Now hold it. Who is that person talking about? That's the man that isn't walking in the counsel of the ungodly. This is the old boy that's delighting in the law of the Lord. This is the one that doesn't mind being planted. You ever heard that expression, grow where you're planted?
Yeah.
I hate that. I don't want to grow where I'm planted. I want to be moving and shaking and going different places. And God, you just better keep up with me, okay? I mean, we're going. God said, hold it.
Yeah.
Blessed is the man that's willing to be planted.
Amen.
Amen.
By the rivers of water, rivers of plenty, rivers of purity, rivers of plenty. God said, I'll plant you right there. Sometimes we don't like where God plants us. Well, God, I didn't have that in my mind, and that wasn't my big picture plan. And God says, blessed's going to be the man now. The one that's going to be prosperous whithersoever he goes. The one that we want to be. Everybody in this room wants that in their life. I want that for my children. I want that now for my grandchildren. Brother Parsons, I'm a granddad. Not amen. Oh, me. Miss Julie does not like the term grandmother. I called her granny, and she about hit me. She's not a striker. She said, I'm too young. Everybody in this room is too young to be a grandparent. I know, I've heard it all. A couple weeks, how old now? I'm about a month. She sent me a picture tonight. She's all dressed up for church, and she's got a little girl, Rebecca, and her and Justin, and they have all dressed up beautifully. And man, she looked like she's going to Sunday go to meet. And praise the Lord, dressing up for God. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing in society that doesn't get it. I have a neighbor by the condo we were at, and he was eyeballing me up and down. What in the world are you doing with a suit on Wednesday night? That doesn't make sense. The sun's out. It's hot out. What are you doing? Where are you? Is it a funeral? Why do they always think it's a funeral? It's never a happy occasion. It's never, man, you're going to have some fun. It's always a funeral. Were you going to a funeral? You going to a funeral? Funeral? No, I'm not going to a funeral. I'm going to church. Going to get excited about the Lord. That I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. The world doesn't understand that. He looked at me up and down and said, what in the world is going on? The fig tree is an indication of life. At least should be. It should be. Mere professors have been always a stumbling block. Just a professor, been a stumbling block, hypocritical. You say, what about the prospering? Well, let's read verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like, whoa. What do you mean the ungodly are not so? The ungodly are not planted. The ungodly sit in the sinners and the scorners. And you know what a scorner is? The Bible says sit in the seat of the scornful. A scorner is somebody that's not just always negative, but they're lobbying. They're getting other people. They're a scorner. They're gonna not just laugh you to scorn. They're going to scorn you, and they're going to tell you about it. They're going to tell everybody about it, and they're going to try to get on your Christian radio station. Well, tell everybody about it. They're a scorner. God says the ungodly are not so. The ungodly don't want to do that. The ungodly don't want to be planted. The ungodly are not going to be prosperous in all their ways. Look at verse 5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the law, the Bible says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God says, no. Preacher, what do we do? These perilous times. What do we do perhaps in the end days? Well, I'm just kind of narrow-minded. I'm just going to soul win it. I'm just going to tell my neighbor, hey, you ought to be in church this week. We have a gentleman in our church that hadn't come a lot in the last 6 months. Came on a Thursday night and said, preacher, can you talk to me about my marriage? I said, man, if I can help you, give you some ideas. Man, I've only been married 26, but I'll try to be a help to you if I can. We sat around the Bible and led him to Christ that day.
Amen.
He didn't need marital help. He needed godly help.
Amen.
I can't fix your marriage. Preacher, we'd like to. We can't. But God can fix it.
Amen.
God can be a help to you. I'll leave you this thought, this story, this little boy, a true story. A little boy knelt down at his father's knee to say his bedtime prayers. After he had repeated his, you know, the usual ones, the father's suggestion, offer some other. After some hesitation, the young boy went on and said, and I quote, "Dear Jesus, when I grow up, make me big and strong like Daddy." The words sank deep into the father's heart, for he had gone astray. He had some sin, some wrong. He knew it. Later that night, hours after, the father prayed, and he prayed this: "My father, now that I'm all grown up, Make me pure. Make me right with God. Make me sweet like my boy. As his prayer was answered, he went off to serve the Lord with all his heart and soul. He said, God, I just don't want to be a professing leaves. Jesus sees leaves afar off, walks over there expecting something, and gets let down. How many times have we let the Lord down? Boy, innumerable. Say, preacher, what do? I don't want to do that anymore. Perhaps we just need to come tonight and lay it out. Say, God, I'm just going to lay it out for you tonight. I'm going to get real with you just for a moment. Just see what God will do. God can fix you. God can help you. God's got a plan still for your life. The fig tree was an indication of fruit and life. God says every Christian ought to be an indication of life everlasting. A witness, a tool meant for the Father's use. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, Lord, we know some things. Perhaps tonight we knew these things. And tonight we just need to relearn. Sometime we go to school to relearn, to college and relearn what we already knew. Lord, we don't want to be a picture of just leaves. Lord, I pray you'd use, Lord, each one in this congregation, Lord, how to somehow get somebody and how to be an encouragement, how to be a servant to their church and their preacher. Lord, how to be serving through the local church. And Lord, this is a Wednesday night crowd. This is called the faithful. But Lord, this is who you're going to use first. I'm a firm believer. This is who you're going to break first. And the Bible says my house should be a house of prayer. And Lord, tonight, perhaps that's what needs to happen. Lord, just like this father said, Lord, would you make me pure and right? Would you forgive me and make me sweet like my boy? Lord, if that's the need of the hour, Lord, I pray you'd take it and use it, Lord, only like you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Spoke to your heart and you need to come and do business with him. Why don't you step out and come? Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that heaven would be your home for a Bible reason. The message tonight was nothing but leaves. It reminded me of the garden. And Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they sewed together fig leaves to cover themselves because they knew that their sin was exposed or they were exposed to the things. And maybe you're here tonight and you've come to a place and you realize you're a sinner and that you feel kind of it's been exposed tonight by God inside your heart, and the only thing between you and God is nothing but leaves. And what you desperately need is a Savior. The one that stood there looking for fruit from the fig tree was the one that came and gave us the Holy Spirit to come and live in us. We don't have the ability to live a righteous life without God in our lives. Why don't you come and accept him tonight? If you're here and you don't know Jesus as Savior, why don't you come and instead of living with nothing but leaves, why don't you come and get the fruit that God has given us, the eternal life that God gives through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Brother Jeremiah sings, you step out and come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, let me ask you this. As a Christian, are you producing fruit? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. The Holy Spirit being evident in your life in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things are fruits of the Spirit that come out of the inside of the Christian who's living for God. Amen. But the true fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Boy, there's so many folks moving into our area, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need your testimony of what God's done for you in their lives. And maybe they'll say, you know what? That's what I'm missing. That's what I need. You know, we serve a God that Jeremiah 6 16 says that the old paths, and what a blessing it is that when we find that, we find the rest for our souls. You know how much unrest goes on in this world today? Because people don't have rest in their soul. And what they desperately need is for somebody who's found that rest and is walking that old path to share it with them. So maybe tonight you need to just, maybe right where you are, just say, God, help me to produce fruit. Help me to be the witness I ought to be. Give me somebody this week to witness to cross my path. As Brother Jeremiah sings, maybe you just need to pray and ask God that tonight.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
Let's sing this next verse with him now.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. That was a good message for us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hope that you were helped. I hope you'll put it into action this week. And just think about that. And sometimes, you know, for all of us, the best thing we can do is just wake up every day and say, God, if you'll put somebody in my path that needs you, I'll be faithful to witness to them.
Amen.
And then be faithful, be conscious of us. You know, most of us are busy through our day. And sometimes I plan myself up so much that I can't go find them, but I can pray God to bump them into me. Amen. They're everywhere. Amen. They're everywhere. And we need to be able to just be a witness. Amen. And so again, I'll encourage you to do that. And we want to pray. I want to make sure all of you, Brother Jeremiah, make sure we don't park none of the vans beside each other tonight. Okay. Last time Brother Kawinga preached about fire. Did you hear him talk about fire two or three times? Two of our vans burned up the last time he preached on fire over here. Amen. So, amen. So preach them set like two or three spots apart, okay? All right, that's right. Because if one of them goes up, let's just let one of them go, okay? All right, amen. I appreciate my brother being here. You come by and welcome him and talk to him, tell him you appreciated the message. Choir, Sunday's coming. Amen. And so you're the VIPs of Sunday, so make sure you come up for practice. If you can come out and help us. And again, ladies, if you do have opportunity, come out at 9:30 and be a part of that. We do have several shut-in ladies that would love to see you and need some encouragement, and it'd be good for us to do that tomorrow. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, you're so good to us, Lord. Sometimes we miss the fact that sometimes we're so busy putting out leaves, Lord, we forget about being fruitful. Lord, we're so worried about kind of even what Adam and Eve did. They just were, the first thing they did, instead of run to God, Lord, they started sowing leaves together. God, I pray you'd help us to run to you and stay close to you, so you allow us to be fruit-filled Christians, Lord. Be fruitful with the Holy Spirit, but also with producing fruit for you. God, I pray you'd help us as we go. I know that many of our families, Lord, they'll go to work. They have school. We have this competition and all the things that are going to be going on. Lord, I pray you'd bless those things. Lord, you'd watch over and be with Pastor Carter now as he climbs into the pulpit. Give him power, Lord, beyond his years. Make him youthful again, Lord, as he preaches. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God in power would speak to the hearts of people, and that he would be used mightily of you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.